Pastor Ronnie will be with us shortly, and I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, beginning in Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. And as he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones, and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." Verse 3. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains." If you want to shift over to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 11, we're going to go through and read all of these. Hebrews 10, verse 11. "Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." Continuing in verse 15. "The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, 'This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds.' Then he adds, 'Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more.' And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary." Continuing in verse 19 of chapter 10. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Thus reads the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, you are a great and awesome God. Lord, we, as always, thank you for preserving your Word for us. Lord, we know these words are thousands of years old, but Lord, you have taken the time, God, to ensure that everyone in this day and age, Father, has the most recent version of your Holy Bible. Lord, we just want to say thank you for that. Thank you for the gift of your Word. Father, sometimes when we are wondering what to do next, Father, we know that we can always go to your Word and find principles that that guide our lives. Lord, we are thankful that you can speak to us through your Word. And as we pray to you, God, that's our message, that's our communication to you. And Father, your communication back to us is through your Holy Word. Thank you for your Word today. We pray in Jesus' name.
Should I wave at him? you, Pete. Thank you. Thank you, Matthew. Everybody, just pray for me real fast. We can make it through the message. Hey, did you just read the first page or all? Cool. I'll save you some here in a minute. Amen. Y'all excited for today?
Amen.
Hey, your title for today's message is this: Draw Near with a True Heart. Sign of the Times. Draw near with a true heart. Sign of the Times. How many of y'all know that we're living in the sign of the times of the last days? Amen. They're coming sooner than we know. Sooner than what we expect. Y'all guess what? They could be here tomorrow. They could be here next week. Guess what? They could be here before we end the service. Amen. So I ask you today, do you have that true heart right now that you know that when the sign of the time and the end of days does come, that you're ready for it? That you know you're going to heaven and not hell? Amen? That's your little premise for the message this morning. First set of scripture for me today is from the Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 through 14, and the other part of chapter 10 there. Through Jesus' once miracle, once for all sacrifice of a miracle, we're truly forgiven. And guess what? Not just truly forgiven, but we're fully forgiven. Amen. Everything that we have done when we accept that relationship with Him is gone. It's no longer to be brought up. Yeah, Satan will try to bring it up when we get to heaven and the judgment day. Amen. But guess what? It's gone. It's fully forgiven. So when God opens that book, when Jesus opens that book, guess what's going to be on there? It ain't going to be that Ronnie went and stole a 12-pack of beer. Amen? It's going to be a white sheet. Satan's going to try to use that example, the sin that I committed or that you committed in your lives. But guess what? Again, because of God's all-atoning sacrifice, we are fully forgiven of all the sins that we've committed here. As long as we keep that relationship with Him, right? This truth calls each one of us to draw closer to Him with a confidence and hold fast to our faith. The devil will try to tell you our faith is waning and not real, won't he? But we got to get away from that. We got to not worry about what the devil is going to try to tell us, amen? We got to worry about what God's going to tell us. We got to hold fast to that truth. And we also have to encourage one another. Amen? We can't let everybody else just go through and not encourage them. Because you might be the one person that day that person is really struggling that day. And you bring them an encouragement. And guess what? That's what they needed to make it through that day. And possibly the rest of their lives. Amen? We also see in the scripture here the finality of Christ's sacrifice. Verse 11 and 12 says, "And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away your sins. But when Christ had offered for all time, a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down," where? "At the right hand of God." At the right hand of our Father. Amen. And we can compare the Old Testament with the New Testament. This passage itself contrasts the repetitive sacrifices of the Old Testament priest with Jesus' single, effective sacrifice. The priest's sacrifices were reminders of sin rather than a remedy of sin. Amen. The sin of the priest's sacrifice was a reminder of sin rather than a remedy. But we got Jesus, amen, that however offered a one time, once and for all, complete sacrifice. But guess what? It has ongoing and permanent effects for us. And then we see Him sit down at the right hand of God. This imagery itself signifies completion and authority. Jesus is not standing, is He? He's not standing to continue sacrificing. He is seated, symbolizing that His sacrificial work is done. It's finished, amen? When we accept Christ's sacrifice, we're not trying to earn favor. Amen. But we're resting in the forgiveness already offered, already done, and already there for us to take. Amen. We also see the promise of the forgiveness and the transformation. Verse 15 and 17 says, "And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." No more. Amen. The Holy Spirit got a witness, don't He? The writer himself reminds us that the Holy Spirit testifies to the new covenant promise. And that promise assures each one of us two things. Our sins are truly forgiven, and God's Spirit is at work within each one of us. Amen. He's transforming our hearts. He's transforming our minds. Amen. And we can't have forgiveness without sacrifice. Amen. There's no longer a need for the repeated sacrifices of the Old Testament. In Christ Himself, we find that we are not simply pardoned, but we are purified. Amen. When God says, "I will remember their sins no more," it's a reminder of His unconditional grace. Our guilt does not have the final word. Amen. But our God's grace does. Amen. We also see a call to draw near and hold fast for us. The other part of the Hebrew Scripture, chapter 10, verse 19:22 says this, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." We can have that confidence. We can have that confidence. Guess what? If it's in God's Word, it's there for us to claim. Amen? It's a true Word. So we can have the confidence in the access. Because of Jesus' work Himself, we now have a direct access to God, don't we? Before, in the Old Testament, they couldn't talk directly to God. They had to go through the priest. Right? But now, because of Jesus and His love for us, we have a direct access. No longer do we need to go through the earthly mediators. For Jesus Himself has opened our way. This access isn't based on our worthiness, is it? Because trust me, I am nowhere near worthy for the access to God. Amen. But because of God's grace and Jesus' dying on the cross and finished work, it's an invitation for us to approach God with honesty and authenticity. So let us hold fast. The writer himself encourages each one of us to cling to our hope without wavering, despite challenges and our doubts. Holding fast doesn't mean that we won't struggle, does it? It means, though, that we continue to trust God, or trust that God is faithful, even in times of uncertainty. It means that we continue to trust that God is faithful, even in our times of uncertainty. We have to be an encouragement to one another. Verse 24 and 25 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near." We have to have a mutual encouragement, don't we? Faith is not meant for us to hold it to ourselves. It's not meant for a solitary journey, is it? We're called to help each other, stirring up love and good works. Think about ways that we can actively encourage others in their walk with God. Do we take time to lift them up, to lift our brothers and sisters up in faith? Or do we just turn a blind eye to them? Amen. And we also tells us to never forsake the assembly. The writer warns against neglecting gathering together. Being part of a faith community strengthens each one of us. It keeps us accountable, don't it? And it reminds us that we're not alone in this battle and daily walk. Amen. As the day draws near, we're reminded of Christ's return. In the meantime, we strengthen and we prepare one another to stay faithful. Some ways that we can look at it and apply it to our lives is this. Draw near to God. Spend intentional time in prayer, fully aware of the freedom and the confidence that you have in approaching God. And with encouraging each other, think of ways that we can support and uplift our fellow believers, being intentional about community. And how can we truly rest in His finished work? Remember that Remember that Christ's sacrifice in itself is totally enough. Amen. Don't fall into the trap of thinking that you need to add to it. Instead, live daily in gratitude and joy. The message of Hebrews 10 reminds us that Christ's sacrifice is final. His forgiveness is complete and His presence is accessible. Let's respond by drawing near with confidence today, holding fast to hope and loving one another well as we wait His return. Amen. Now the second part of that, the book of Mark chapter 13, verse 1 through 8, he read the ESV version for you. As Jesus and His disciples left the temple, one of them marveled at His grandeur. The grand temple symbolized the strength, the stability, and the pride of Israel. But Jesus' response to it stunned them. It stunned them, didn't it? Do you see these great buildings? They will not be left here, one stone upon another, that will not be thrown down. Jesus was pointing each one of them to a reality beyond the temple, beyond the physical structure. Amen. A reality of trials and upheavals that would come before His return. Through Mark 13, 1 through 8, we're given a glimpse into the future. The sign of the times, amen? And the importance of being spiritually vigilant. In verses 1 and 2, He talks about the temple's destruction as foretold. As He came out of the temple, one of His disciples said to Him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." The temple itself was a magnificent structure. It was built with massive stones. For the Jews themselves, it was not just a religious center, was it? But it was a national symbol for them. The disciples were able and in awe of its splendor. But Jesus responded with a prophecy about its destruction. The prophecy was fulfilled in AD 70 when the Romans destroyed the temple during their siege of Jerusalem. We're reminded here that no earthly structure, no earthly possession or institution is eternal. Amen. Our faith must rest in our Christ, not in the physical structures or worldly assurances. In a world where things are constantly changing, Jesus Himself calls us to root our hope in the unchanging foundation of His promises. In the second part of that, verse 3 through 8, "And He sat down, and He sat on the Mount of Olives, opposite the temple. Peter and James and John and Andrew asked Him privately, 'Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all of these things are about to be accomplished?' And Jesus began to say to them, 'See that no one lead you astray. Many will come in my name saying, I am he. And they will lead many astray. And when you hear of the wars and the rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. And these are but the beginning of the birth pains. The disciples asked Jesus two key questions, didn't they? When will destruction happen? And what are the signs that it's going to happen? Jesus does not give a specific timeline, does he? But he provides signs that would indicate the end is near. He mentions false messiahs, don't he? Many will claim to be Christ, deceiving many. I'm pretty sure we got fear of them out there right now, amen? Rumors of wars and wars. There will be a constant strife among the nations. And the natural disasters, there'll be earthquakes and famines, will occur as part of the signs of those times. These are the birth pains. Indicate the end is coming, but it's not yet immediate. Amen. It's not yet time for it. We must be careful though, right? Not to be misled by those who claim to have special knowledge of the end times. I'm going to promise you one thing. If you're listening to a preacher or a pastor or anybody that say by God's word they know when those times are coming, they're false teaching. They're false teaching, amen? They're misleading you and trying to lead you astray. So we must be careful not to be misled by those that claim to have that special knowledge. Jesus warns us not to be alarmed by turmoil and disasters, but to understand them as part of a fallen world awaiting His return. When we see these things, we're to remain steadfast in our faith, not shaken by fear, but strengthened in hope. Amen. How should we respond with this? The essence of Jesus' message in these verses is a call to vigilance, and it's a call to faithfulness. Jesus wants His followers, us, to be aware of the signs, but not overly focused on predicting the end time. Instead, He calls us to a life of steadfastness. So some of the responses we might have is we could guard against deception. Those false teachings abound today. Amen. And Jesus warns that many of us will be deceived. We must anchor ourselves in God's Word and be discerning through it. And we should do that without fear. The world may experience chaos, but we are called to stand firm, aren't we? God remains sovereign for us. And we can trust that He is totally in control. Amen? And we can live with a hope and a purpose. Jesus' return is a promise that we await with hope. Not sadness, amen? But that return is something that we do with hope. Our mission, though, is to share that gospel and to prepare for His coming by living our lives that honor Him. Not worldly lives, amen? But lives that honor Him. In Mark 13, 1 through 8, we encounter Jesus speaking about the future of His disciples. The passage opens with one of them marveling at the grandeur of the temple. But to that, Jesus again responded, "Do you see all these great buildings? Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." And that shocking statement is only the beginning of the deeper teaching that Jesus offers us. One that has relevance for us even as of today. As the disciples sat down with Jesus on the Mount of Olives, looking over Jerusalem, they're filled with questions. I'm sure we have questions today too, right? When will these things happen, they ask. What will be the sign? Jesus' response guides them not to be detailed, be a detailed timeline, but to a perspective and a faith and vigilance. Amen. Jesus knew that focusing solely on when misses the total point. Instead, He wants us to prepare our hearts and equip them with a spiritual clarity and courage. We can have that deeper faith, or we have a danger that false contaminates. First, Jesus warns of that deception. Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in My name, claiming I am He, and will deceive many. In every age, including our own today, amen, people yearn for certainty, especially in uncertain times. This desire itself often leads us to trust into people or ideas that promise easy answers, don't they? I know that's the way the world tries to get us to think today. Yet Jesus Himself reminds us to stay grounded in His truth, not the world truth, not our social truth, right? We got to be vigilant against those teaching or leaders that might steer us away from the gospel. We got false teachers, prophets, and ideologies often present themselves as answers to our fears. But Jesus cautions us, watch out. Do not be persuaded by promises that seem too good to be true. Instead, hold fast to the teaching of Christ, allowing them to be our compass and navigating the complexities of life. But we must embrace the change with faith. Next, Jesus speaks of unsettling events, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, and famines. These birth pains are not signs that everything is falling apart. Amen? But rather, they're the beginnings of a transformation. Just as labor pains signal the imminent birth of a new life, these signs of turmoil suggests that something new is coming our way. A new creation, a new kingdom that God is bringing forth and birthing forth. Amen. Think of our own lives. Change is inevitable, isn't it? And it's often uncomfortable. We experience personal earthquakes in the form of loss, disappointment, and transitions that we hadn't planned for. The question Jesus poses here is, how will I respond when the ground beneath us shakes? When we get some earthquakes in our lives? Rather than giving in to the fear or giving in to the discouragement, we're invited to see that these challenges are an opportunity for our growth. They're reminders that we have a God that is at work, not just sitting up on the throne. Amen. He's at work even in chaos. And it calls us to a steadfast hope. Because finally, in all of this, Jesus points us to hope and endurance. The early followers of Jesus faced tremendous hardship, didn't they? They had persecution, both social and economical marginalization. And yet, the destruction of the temple, which did indeed come to pass again in AD 70. Yet Jesus' words guided them through those trials and give them a reason to endure. In our times today, we may also feel as though the world is in turmoil. Like those first disciples, we're called to look beyond the immediate events and trust in God's greater purposes. We may not know all the details of God's plan, but we know the One who holds that plan in His hands. Amen? We may not know all the plans of God's details, but we truly know the One that holds them in His hands. And that should give us some hope. Big reason for hope, right? We're called to live with a sense of readiness, but not anxiety. We live with our hearts aligned with Jesus, not fearful for the future. Amen. But grounded in the promises of God. In the end, Jesus' word in Mark 13, 1 through 8, are a call for us to focus on what truly matters. They remind us that structures and systems in our lives, no matter how grand they might be, are truly only temporary, aren't they? But our relationship with God, our commitment to His truth, and our call to love and to serve others, those are eternal times and eternal hope. Amen. As we live each day with this perspective, we embrace not a spirit of fear, right? But one of steadfast faith, one of hope, one of love. Amen. Again, Mark 13 through 1 through 8 reminds us that life on this earth is going to be filled with trials. But we are not to fear. Jesus calls each one of us to look beyond our physical temples and grand structures of our world that we live in, and to place our faith in Him, the eternal rock. Wars, fairness, or famines, and earthquakes are going to happen. But these are not the end, are they? There are signs that God's redemption plan is unfolding before our very eyes. Our role in this is to remain faithful, to remain grounded in His Word, and to be hopeful in the promises of God. May we stand firm knowing that the One who promised to return will indeed make that comeback and make all things new. As we come for a final song, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I thank You for Your message today, Lord. Lord, I thank You for Your Holy Spirit speaking through me, Lord, getting Ronnie out of the way, Lord. Lord, I thank You for Your word spoken and not mine, Lord. Lord, I ask that You put a blessing upon each one of our hearts today, Lord. Lord, that we can truly live in faith, Lord. Be faithful, Lord. Be steadfast, Lord. And have hope and love to everybody that we come in contact with. Lord, that we would share Your gospel, Lord. Your love, Lord. But most importantly, Lord, in this crazy chaos times that we're living in, Lord, that we would share Your eternal resting place with somebody else that needs to hear it today, Jesus. Lord, that we would just get away from whatever the world and Satan is trying to tell us is the right thing, Lord. Lord, that we would truly know that the only way that we will have eternal happiness, Lord, is by living that relationship that Jesus gave us on that cross, Lord. Lord, we thank You for each and everything that You do, Lord. In Your name I pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen.